Today on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, we're talking about make or break players. Who could make or break your season? Adam Azer, Jamie Asper, Dave Richard.
Technically, that could be anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, but your favorite candidates to be make or breaks.
Favorite candidates or candidates that I sent you an email in 30 seconds?
That's what all it took was 30 seconds of thinking?
Maybe
45. And the two of you came up with two of the same names, too.
I put in at least a minute and a half worth of thought.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate you working three times as hard as James.
You know, I just wish I had a windscreen on my microphone.
Yeah, that would be nice, but we're a little shorthanded today. All right, welcome to the show. Email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. If you just put podcast in the subject line, it's going to the baseball inbox. Let's get to it, right?
We no got news?
Oh, you tell me. Chris Johnson's on the Jets.
Chris Johnson's on the Jets. Sidney Rice is back with the Seahawks. The Giants have a new quarterback.
Oh, well.
Big news.
But Eli Manning's got the ankle thing, so that's...
Eli Manning's got the ankle thing.
All right, fine. Chris Johnson's on the Jets.
How much time?
Go for it, Dave. The floor is yours.
This is where you wanted to see him go, right?
This is where I wanted to
I'm
see
so
him
happy for this day.
Why are you... Look at you.
I'm
You're
so
leaning
happy.
Back in your chair.
I am, because you got smart. So tell everybody why you got smart.
Well, as you might recall from a previous podcast, I came out supportive of Christopher Johnson. I thought that he'd have a good opportunity to land with a team where he'd get a lot of work and be about as effective as he was over the past three seasons. And there are elements of his game that I still like a lot. And I went back. I'm talking here. You said I had the floor, and you're spilking all over my floor. Come on, Jamie.
Sorry.
A little dignity for me. Now, sorry. About this loser, Chris Johnson.
That's not nice.
He had a nice... He finished each of the last three seasons very strongly. 10 games. His average was 12.8 fantasy points per game. That's every single year. That's not cumulative over each of the 3 years. And then just the first six games to start out a season, he was horrible. So I still thought that he still had a lot to offer the Jets. And then I went and I saw just how much running the Jets running backs actually did last season. And I know it's Chris Ivory and I know it's Bilal Powell, but this is still Chris Johnson, who isn't the guy that he was 4 years ago, and I'll admit that. They combined all the Jets running backs, excluding fullbacks and, you know, the eight carries that Tommy Bohannon got, about 38% of the overall offensive workload. So they threw a lot, and that's par for the course with Marty Morningweg, who's been quoted time and again that he prefers to throw more than run, and you know, he's a 60-65% pass per game guy. That might help Chris Johnson stay on the field a little more often than Chris Ivory, but I can't help but, you know, tone down where the projections would be with Chris Johnson. He had, what did he have last year, like 280, 290 carries with Tennessee, Jamie? Is that
Yeah, I mean, the New York Daily News is expecting...
It's going to be lower.
12
it's,
carries a game.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. And I think it'll be... I actually think it'll be more than that. I think it'll be more than 12 per game.
I think what you're getting...
I've still got the floor.
No, you don't. Chris Johnson...
What are you doing to me?
Dave, you've had the floor for 2 minutes.
Chris, I've got to make my point about why I've come around and why I've loaded down.
Let him finish.
And then I'll let Jamie have the floor.
Yeah, I agree. And then I'm going to have the floor and talk about the bet Jamie and I made.
Okay.
Yes.
I would. The biggest concern I've got overall about Chris Johnson is that he's a total question mark game in and game out. Very inconsistent from week to week. And I'm talking about just the effort that he puts in. You go back last year and you watch week three against San Diego, and it just looks like he doesn't want to get hit, doesn't seem to be trying as hard. And then there's that game against St. Louis where the first carry of the game, he just was shot out of the cannon. And if every game looked like that game against St. Louis, nobody on the planet would say that Chris Johnson's going to be a bust this year because he was outstanding. And, yes, part of it is that he played against St. Louis. But part of it was you could see the speed and you could see the effort. And that inconsistent effort is going to be a problem. And I don't know if he's going to get enough opportunities. I've ballparked his projections at 1,100 total yards and 6 touchdowns. And that might be a little bit high.
Okay, that was...
He's out of my top 24.
3 minutes of the floor. Jamie, can you... Go ahead.
He stinks. You're going to get three or four games of very good production from Chris Johnson. And you're going to get probably 5 to 6 games of very good production from Chris Ivory. And that's if both guys stay healthy. I don't know if Chris Johnson at this point is going to be able to give you 16 games, which has been his calling card, really. His durability has been probably his best attribute since the 2009 season, because his cumulative numbers by the end of the year, has made his production look good, which is why he was a top 10 fantasy running back last season, on top of the fact that he had a career-high 4 touchdowns catching the ball. So I think what you're hoping for with Chris Johnson, which coming off surgery to repair a tear in his meniscus, or something with his meniscus, I don't want to say it was a tear, but he had knee surgery this offseason, where now you're seeing Adam Schefter report that the Jets, despite signing him, were a little bit concerned that he has a case of arthritis with his knee.
Which
he disputes,
right.
But we'll see what's true or not. I just don't think you're going to get the name value that you're hoping for. And I'm glad that you're coming around on it, however you got to this conclusion with Chris Johnson. Because I think if you think that he's – not you. If the fantasy owner thinks that he's a number two fantasy running back still, or even a number one guy, you're clearly mistaken. Because it's a different team, different situation. Yes, Chris Ivory is as injury-prone as they come. And Chris Johnson may get great opportunities as a result of Chris Ivory's injury problems. But it's just a point now. He's going to be 29. He's had a lot of work over the last several years. And you saw last year, 3.9 yards per carry, a guy that's been declining in production year over year since the big season.
No, because in 2011 he averaged 4 yards per carry, and in 2012 he averaged 4.5 yards per carry.
I'm not talking about just yards per carry. I mean just his production.
Yeah, 1,243 yards.
Yeah, he's been serviceable.
In 2012.
And again, you know, you look at his total numbers. They've looked very good over at the end of the year.
All right,
But this is a guy that's not heading in the right direction. He's heading in the wrong direction.
Would you believe that he's actually improved in his final season fantasy ranking each of the last 3 years?
Right, and I think...
He finishes a top 10 running back this past season. Finished
with a
career in the top
high
15.
In receiving touchdowns.
Yes, that's definitely true.
But that's
true.
The thing, like, he could catch a lot of passes this year.
I mean, he could.
He could play that role.
It's very possible that he could. I've got a projection for 40 catches. He could get to 55. He could set a... What's his career high in catches so far?
Last year, I believe it was.
His career high in catches was 57 in 2011.
Yeah, so
he had his fourth highest total last year.
It's possible he could get to 55 or get ahead of 57. It's possible.
Yeah, so he had his most catching touchdowns last year. I feel like I'm higher on him than I was last week because I think everybody else is going to be lower on him than they were last
week.
Well,
sure. And if you're sitting there and it's, Jamie, I don't know how you feel, but late round 5, round 6,
nope.
And he's still there,
yeah,
I'll grab him. I'll take him. He'll be my flex.
See, my thing with Chris Johnson is like I feel like he's a baby, he's a brat, and maybe a change of scenery might do him good. And maybe Rex Ryan can motivate him more. And maybe he'll catch a lot more passes now. And Chris Ivory's always had trouble staying healthy. And he hasn't. He's been the healthiest running back in football, pretty much. So I think there's a chance he could surprise people.
Going back to the one point I made about how he's had these great 10-game stretches to end each of the last 3 seasons, I think the better move isn't to draft him, but to kind of take a wait-and-see approach. And if he stinks right out of the gate, you trade for him. And you give up less in trade than what you would draft in round 5, round 6.
But nobody's going to do that, though.
No, people who have Chris Johnson, they're going to be frustrated.
Because it's not the same. You're not drafting him early and hoping to get that early return. You're going to draft him in that round 5 range.
No, you're drafting him in the round 5 range. Yeah. But then when he stinks for your team, he could become expendable. You can make an offer for him, and you can get him on your roster.
And Jamie,
I think that's actually the best thing.
I told Jamie that Chris Johnson will be a top 20 running back. I don't think it's going to be points per game. You think he's durable.
You think he'll finish as a top? I mean, that's part of the reason why he finished so high.
I think he'll default into the top 20. I don't think he's a great player. I'm not saying.
And I think he finished as a top 10 running back last season because of his durability and his workload. He had enough volume, and that's part of the reason why he had another 1,400 total yard season.
And Jamie doesn't think it's true. So.
Nope.
I agree. I don't think he'll finish as a top 20 running back, but I think he'll be very fine as a flex.
So our bet is I'm buying you pizza in New York if he does finish as a top 20
fantasy
running back.
We're going to Patsy's.
At Patsy's. And if he doesn't, you're washing my car in the parking lot.
Fine.
That's it.
That's it.
I like our other terms better.
What was the other terms?
That if I won, JB would have to eat pork. And if Jamie lost...
Oh, you can't do that to somebody.
And if Jamie won...
No, I'm that confident it's not going to happen. I agree to it.
I would have to give up pork for a year. But Jamie doesn't eat pork.
Both of those are very extreme.
Yeah, I would never.
I could never give up pork.
I only made the bet because I knew Jamie would never agree to it.
But I agreed to it.
Yeah, but you didn't really agree to it.
I'll agree to it.
I would never make you do that.
I am that confident that he will not finish as a top 20 running back that I would agree to it.
Pork it up.
All right. How about pork versus the car wash?
Oh yeah.
No, he has to give it
oh,
up.
Oh no, giving a pork for a year?
Yeah.
You
oh,
can't God. Make no,
it. It was your turn.
That.
Was
I can't
turn.
Do that. No, I can't do
it was your
that.
Turn.
What's
I was
wrong
kidding.
With the car wash? I think the car wash is hilarious.
Oh, that's the other one.
Fine, I'll
we'll
do
both bets.
I'll wash your car. I'll wash
you
your car.
You wanna do both?
I'll gladly do both bets. That's how confident I am in Chris
I will wash
being
your
a
car
failure as a fantasy
and
where do you have him ranked?
27.
And I've got him 25th. I'm like, yeah, he's not bad. 25. Jamie's like, I hate him, 27.
Okay, that was 10 minutes, so Jamie sent an interesting tweet out earlier. He said, podcasting today. Send your fantasy football questions to me, at Dave Richard, and at Adam Azer. If you compliment Adam, he'll read your questions. So I got some interesting responses there.
No, it's the only way I do this every week, and you ignore everyone.
Give me the,
so if we made it all about you, I knew that it would have a good chance of
thank you.
Of making it on the show.
Let's talk about my top five moments on the show, and then we'll get into make or break players. Just give me some quick news stuff. Sidney Rice, Josh Freeman, whatever.
I mean, we don't need to talk about this stuff. Sidney Rice, if you're looking for a receiver late in a draft, you can take a chance on him, but very injury prone. Not old, but injury prone.
Did you guys bump or move Eli Manning down?
He's already down.
No.
Okay.
He stayed steady at 23rd among quarterbacks for me.
Let's go to the make or break players. These guys could make or break your year. Jamie's list is starts with a quarterback. RG3, the number 6 quarterback in fantasy in 2012, and number 19, top 5 moment right there. Number 19 in 2013. Go on.
Well, it's interesting because today there was the Washington Post had a report in quoting Santana Moss and Chris Cooley, the former tight end of the Redskins, but both those guys have worked out with RG3 and both had very glowing things to say about him. And I think he's going to be one of those guys. For the most part, been on the cusp of a top 12 quarterback for me all offseason. And after all of the moving around, DeSean Jackson, all that stuff, I put him back in my top 10. And I think you're going to look at the name is going to clearly jump out to people like it did a year ago. But you're talking about a guy a year removed from ACL, no knee brace anymore, full offseason to work. He didn't have all that last year. And then the clearly upgrade in his receiving core, along with the coordinator. Coach Jay Gruden taking over as a coach. I think they're going to throw more. I think they're going to throw a lot. And I think they're going to allow RG3 to be a playmaker. Can he stay healthy? That's the biggest question. But based on what he's capable of, as we saw in 2012, I would gamble on him. And there's plenty of good number two quarterbacks you could pair him with. Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be available to you that can be fallback options just in case RG3 doesn't get the job done.
Who was the first guy you said in the number two? Oh, Andy Dalton. Sorry.
No, Rivers was the first guy.
Oh, Phillip Rivers. You did say Dalton, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dave also has RG3 as a make or break. More likely to make or break. What do you think?
RG3?
Yeah.
You know, I think the easy answer is to say break because injury prone. One big hit and he's going to miss a bunch of playing time and, you know, a bad week where, you know, he's running around and he misses DeSean Jackson and they don't connect. And he could have 6 or 7 of those over the course of the season. It's probably likely. So I'd probably lean toward break, but if he does make, then you're talking about a guy who's going to have top 5, if not top 3, fantasy results. I mean, just out of this world good.
The perfect guy to wait for if you want to wait for quarterbacks.
C.J. Spiller is on both your lists. More likely to make or break, C.J. Spiller.
It's almost the same argument as RG3. If he can stay healthy, he should be able to put up amazing numbers. And if he takes, you know, if his ankle gets messed up again and costs him some of his quickness and agility on the field, then yeah, he's going to fall apart.
You feel good about him though? Like, what's your gut?
My gut actually likes CJ Spiller this year. The fact that we're not taking him in the first round, first and foremost, that's great. I've got him as a top 20 running back. Like him better than Chris Johnson after long last. But I think Buffalo, their identity is running the football. Even Doug Marrone said he was surprised at how well Fred Jackson did last season.
The thing with Spiller sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
The thing with Spiller last year is he had a knee injury in the preseason, he had a quad injury in week 3, and then he had the ankle injury that lingered all year. Now, obviously, injuries are a part of what you have to deal with, especially with a guy that isn't the biggest of players, biggest of running backs. But we saw what he's capable of when he was healthy. The other factor you have to consider is that 2 years ago, Fred Jackson played 10 games. Last year, he played 16.
Yeah.
So those 6 games where he was by himself, Spiller, that helped tremendously because he didn't have the coming off the field, the losing touches, the losing playing time. Jackson last year did what Spiller tried to do but didn't do it as successful, which was play through the injuries. Jackson had the knee injury. He played through it. He's going to be 33 this year. You have to wonder, can he get back to 16 games again? Because the 2 years prior, 2011, 2012, he only played those 10 games. So I'd gamble on Spiller. I think the point was made. It's where you're getting him now by comparison. You're probably getting him round three, round four. By comparison, it's round one. The later you get him, the better he is.
He's going to be your number two running back.
It's just expectations. We did have one tweet, which I don't think you put here, which was, if I go receiver, I forget who the question was, so I apologize, but it was, if I go receiver, and I end up with Spiller and Ellington as my top two running backs, are you okay with that? I love that. Now, I know a lot of people probably don't, but if you end up, let's say you go Calvin Johnson in the middle part of round one, and then you come back in round two, and it's Demaryius Thomas, you know, or A.J. Green, or Julio Jones, or whoever it may be, Brandon Marshall, and then three and four, you know, Spiller, Ellington, or Ellington, Spiller, however it falls to you, you know, then you just make sure you take another one, probably in round five or round six, you know, like a Gerhardt or, you know, Chris Johnson, if you're a believer, something like that. You're starting to build a better team, you know, so, and you're covering yourself in case these guys do break as opposed to make.
Okay, let's go to Andre Ellington then. This is one of Jamie's make or break players. More likely to make or break, and Ellington averaged 5.5 yards per carry, 9.5 yards per reception last year.
I mean, anybody who's been listening to us this offseason, I think, knows how I feel about this, but he's the type of guy that I will bank on because I do think that there's a ton of talent, great opportunity, good play caller. The downside is that he may not score a ton of touchdowns because of his size. And, you know, Bruce Arians already saying they're not going to run him between the tackles. But this guy, to me, has, you know, 50 catch potential. He's got 150 to 200 carry potential. I see C.J. Spiller from 2012. You know, you can make the Clemson comparison. That's fine. But you know, I think you just see talent level, and if he can stay healthy, that's obviously another thing that you have to be concerned about. So I know people that follow me and read me and believe in the things I say, they're going to say, okay, he's going to take Andre Ellington round three. I'll gamble on that. That's the concern, is that maybe the hype will get a little too out of control because he's going to have probably a good offseason, good preseason. And we saw last year the Atlanta game when he did have the job to himself with Rashard Mendenhall out of the picture. So I think make, but I can understand the concerns and the downside.
The comparison to C.J. Spiller is perfect. He is C.J. Spiller, right down to what the negatives are about him. There's a difference, though. Ellington doesn't have a Fred Jackson hanging around waiting to take.
He might, Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know if Taylor's that guy. I'm worried about them drafting somebody. And then that's somebody who's going to further cut into Ellington. I think Spiller's got more upside than Ellington. But if I can get both of them, I'm fine with it. I can assume one will be great. If both are great, then your team is made. But, again, you're talking about a running back whose number one trait is speed and has a history of getting nicked up and missing time. So a little nervous about him, just as nervous as I would be about Spiller.
Just one difference here, according to our website, 2 inches between the two.
So yeah, Ellington's small.
I don't consider Spiller small. He's on the maybe on the smaller side, but
yeah, Ellington's tiny. He's
tiny.
Definitely small. But one thing that Arian said when we talked to him, or when I talked to him at the coach's breakfast at the owners' meeting, he said that Carson Palmer actually wanted to turn Ellington into a receiver based on the way that the roster was last year.
Yeah,
he wanted to make him their slot guy. And Arian's like, no, calm down. We're going to do what we need to do. And he said, you know, this spring, we're going to have a lot of fun with Andre Ellington. And
all
so.
Right.
You know, I think you're going to see safety valve. I think you're going to see, you know, again, the chance for 200 carries. And so if you just look at his numbers, his metrics, you know, 5.5 per carry and 9.5 per catch, that's basically what Spiller did when he was a superstar in 2012. It was 6 yards and 10.
And here's yet another running back who should have more touches than Chris Johnson.
Let's go to one of Dave's. Andrew Luck. Hey, he scored over 20 fantasy points in an outdoor game twice last year.
All right.
Progress.
That includes the playoffs?
No. Regular season. Cincinnati and...
Oh, the playoff game was at home. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kansas City was at home.
But they won it. They played New England in the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah, but first round they played Kansas City.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, no, they played 2 playoff games. Okay, anyway, more efficient last year than he was in 2013. He threw 57 fewer passes, but he completed... Or sorry, than he was in 2012. But he completed 4 more passes... But about 500 fewer yards. Same amount of touchdowns. Which, he cut the interceptions down.
Right. We knew that the yardage was going to happen. That's just what happens when you go from Bruce Arians to Pep Hamilton.
But the picks down, that helped a lot.
That helped a lot. And he finishes a top 10 quarterback. he had six games with 20 or more fantasy points.
In
so
his
when
last
he was good, he was
games,
very good.
In his last eight games, Dave, 40 points at Cincinnati and no more than 19 in any other game. Is
including,
that
including 17 or less in, or no, in four of those five where he didn't get right. 20. Yeah, that worries me, and that's why I think of him more as a boomer bust. There are so many quarterbacks out there that should deliver great consistency. They're the ones that are going to go early in the drafts. You already know their names. Luck's a guy who I still think is getting drafted based on, well, he's this, you know, can't-miss kid coming out of Stanford in his third season, best receiving core he's ever had. Those are going to be good reasons to draft him, and I'm not saying he's not a number one fantasy quarterback. I'm just saying there will be weeks where, for whatever reason, he gives you 15 fantasy points. He doesn't throw two touchdowns. He only throws one. The Colts win 17-13.
Didn't we say that, though?
Isn't that everyone?
Yeah, I was going to say, we said that about Tony Romo last week. I mean, I think we can...
I think Romo can deliver a little better consistency than Luck.
He could, and so could Luck, though. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's only entering his third season. We haven't seen really what he's fully capable of doing yet, and as you said, this is his best receiving core. He does get Dwayne Allen back. That's a better red zone target than he's, you know, missed last year. Hakeem Nicks, if he's healthy, big if, but that's a better, you know, situation for him.
Sure, sure. And the run game, obviously,
Hilton enters his third year. The run game
is solid,
stinks.
So that might mean he throws a little.
But
more
I think
than
what Dave is saying is like people might see all that stuff and go a little too crazy, right?
Well, no, but I think that's the point, though, is that's true. But I think you could say the same thing about Romo. You say the same thing about Brady at this point in his career where he was last year when he was the number 13 quarterback. Mm-hmm. Philip Rivers had, I think it was seven games where he was great and nine games where he was terrible. Andy Dalton got off to a miserable start. He closed the season on a flourish, but he was bad to start the season. A lot of these quarterbacks, once you get past their first four or five, which is why we like them as their first four or five, then you're talking about, okay, I need those 6 to 10 games of great production for them to justify being the number one guy. Otherwise, you're mixing and matching each week between Luck and Rivers and Luck and Newton and Luck and whoever it else may be. So, I mean, I would rather play the upside card of Luck and hope for those 40-point performances with the increased receiving core, with another year in the system, with another year of maturity, with starting to play better outdoors, you know, if that's part of it as well. So, I mean, to me, he's somebody that you gamble on. I don't think there's really much concern with Andrew Luck.
I'm just worried about the him being over 20 fantasy points week after week after week. Now, in speaking to that, here's the nice part about it. Of the top 12 quarterbacks last year, he finished with Colin Kaepernick for the fewest 20-point games with six. He also had three games where he either had 18 or 19 fantasy points. So he was close. And if it gets over the hump there, suddenly it's nine and it's not six. And we're talking about a guy who finished tied for top five in consistency among fantasy quarterbacks. So I'm leaning more toward make than break for Andrew Luck, considering the improved receiving core. And that's another guy that should be able to fall to you at a really good value in the draft this season.
I think, Dave, we should start using that number you come up with, the average of the top 12. What it is every week?
21.5.
We should start doing 21.5 then instead of 20. You know, like 20 is such a round number, it doesn't make it an important
number.
Yeah,
but that's a little skewed, though, when you talk about Peyton with 60 and Romo with 59, and, you know, it brings that number up just a little bit. If 21.5 is fine. If I get 20, I'm a happy camper.
Me too.
All right, fine. Then we'll use 20. Okay, next up.
The only position where we won't use, we use 10 for running backs and wide receivers. For tight ends, that number is 8 instead of 10.
Okay, fine.
Because of that average, what you're talking about.
Next up is another Dave guy, Monte Ball.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great make or break. More likely to make or break.
It just depends on how many times he fumbles in the first couple of games this season.
If he's really not a fumbler, football, though.
Yeah, but he did three times last year.
Yeah.
It was so uncharacteristic.
But that's not his history.
I agree, it's not. Everybody's coming out saying Monte Ball's ready. His coach, his quarterback, us. All the authorities on Monte Ball, as it comes out to be. And you just look at the track record of running backs with Peyton Manning, the fact that he'll see 6 in the box, 7 in the box, very far more often than not. And he's not an elite running back in terms of talent, but he's the right guy in the right place at the right time.
He's a Big Ten rusher.
I think as long as Denver doesn't do something crazy like add a hotshot rookie running back and that running back comes into camp and catches fire, you're going to see Monte Ball go. If not the first round, top 15 to 20 picks in pretty much every single draft you're in. And I think he could absolutely make your team.
Well, there you go. How about a Jamie guy, Steven Ridley? Kind of same thing with the fumbles there.
Yeah, huge with the fumbles, obviously. That's been his big downfall.
He had 112 fewer carries in 2013 compared to 2012.
Why?
He fumbled.
Yes.
Exactly.
He fumbled in week one. That was the biggest thing. I think if it's going to come down to what they do this offseason, what they still do this offseason, if they add another veteran or if they draft somebody, which would be a little surprising given the fact that they still have Ridley and Vereen under control for their rookie deals for at least one more season. I'm still a Stephen Ridley believer for the simple fact of they were second in the NFL in rushing touchdowns a year ago, and that's really been what his calling card is. I mean, he's not going to be a 1,500-plus rusher. He's certainly not going to catch the ball. He had a career high with 10 last year. So if they do not add anybody else, I will gladly take Stephen Ridley as my number two running back. If they bring in somebody else, then that's going to change things, because I don't think they're going to all of a sudden turn it over to Brandon Bolden. Shane Vereen's role is kind of locked into what it is. He'll take some carries, but certainly more of a pass catcher. So you looked at the Patriots when they were at their best last year is when they were running the ball toward the end of the season, and that's why I think it's a little bit concerning for Tom Brady, but not enough to be afraid to draft him as your starter. But I still think if you look at Stephen Ridley, what his potential is, we saw it in 2012. He can easily get back to that if he holds on to the football. It's a big if. But it's a risk I'd be willing to take.
I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Because and I don't know. I really don't know where I come out on Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
What did it mean to you when LeGarrette Blount wasn't re-signed by the Patriots?
That they're confident in their group. But it's also, I was saying it all along, LeGarrette Blount's going to try and chase whatever paycheck he can get.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots had no reason to pay him.
So if I don't even know if they made him an offer.
Yeah,
that's if they did.
Hard to know.
Okay. So the fact that he's not back after the finish that he gave them last year.
Sure. He was great.
I think that tells you something.
Absolutely.
And, the concern is the fumbles and what's going to happen the first time he fumbles in a game. You know what's going to happen. It's just a matter of how many games is Stephen Ridley going to sit out before Belichick starts to weave him back into the offense.
Conversely, I don't remember and maybe you could look it up, one of you, the first time he fumbled in 2012 and when that started to happen. Because last year it was week one. And
I gotcha.
And then he fell apart. So if he, can get off to a good start, 5-6 games without fumbling and playing at the level he's capable of, then you're going to be very happy about Stephen Ridley. So, it's just a matter of what your trust level is.
All right, let's finish it up. Jamie's last three are Ryan Matthews, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Rob Gronkowski. Tell me each one more likely to make or break. Matthews, Patterson, Gronkowski.
Matthews break, Patterson make, Gronkowski huge make.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So you're pumped about Gronkowski.
Yeah, I just finished his preseason outlook. It's just amazing what the guy does when he's on the field. If you project his numbers over 16 games, it was 89 catches, 1,300-plus yards, and 9 touchdowns. And I think that's low because he's clearly a guy that gets touchdowns in bunches. That automatically put him at the number 2 tight end spot behind Jimmy Graham. Better catches, better yards than Graham, too. Graham just had all those touchdowns. So he's right back there as the ultra-elite level tight ends. And if you were to tell me right now that he's going to play 16 games, I'd move him ahead of Graham. That's just the clear-cut factor with him is the health, because he's played 18 games the last 2 years. Coming off the ACL, you have to wonder, is he still going to be as mobile? I would anticipate it being yes. Is he going to play from week one on? I would think yes. I know Dave did the update yesterday about his camp, saying they're going to take things slow. I think week one he'll be on the field.
Dave has Gronkowski as a make or break too, and he also has Alshon Jeffrey and Keenan Allen make or break.
I think both of the first of all, I agree with Jamie on Gronkowski, with the exception that if I knew he was going to play 16 games, I'll still take Jimmy Graham ahead of him.
No,
I would ahead of Gronk.
Gronk's been better.
Gronk's the best, dude.
He's awesome, but I think Jimmy Graham, assuming no holdout.
I mean, you look at the last time both guys played 16 games, Gronk was better.
A lot better.
Yeah.
Gronk was
Graham's got, you're splitting hairs. It's just a matter of who you like better. If you get the season you had from Graham a year ago, it's hard to say that Gronk's going to be that much better, because he does have back problem, forearm problem, knee problem.
Yeah, no, the reality is that who's more injury prone, it's Gronk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, but again, if it's 16 games for both guys, Gronk will finish with better stats in his offense based on Graham in his offense. And that's, it's 20 fantasy points, 30 fantasy points.
Right. When it's all said and done.
But I still think
Graham higher. Could finish ahead 20 or 30 fantasy points. Oh. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I guess hopefully we'll find out this year.
That would be great. It would help out.
How about Jeffrey and Allen?
With Keenan Allen, just can he really duplicate what he did last year? Can he be that touchdown hound for San Diego like he was toward the end of last season? I think he's got a lot of good talent. I'd like to see San Diego improve their receiving core. I think that they'll still try and throw as much as they did last year. A little worried about reaching for him. I like the idea of settling for him as your number two receiver.
Yeah, where you did it in the draft, Adam was perfect.
Yep. Oh, and that's when I wanted him.
This must be say nice things to Adam Day, right?
You suck.
You're not the only one.
I can smell
that.
Your breath from over here.
It smells glorious.
Alshon did have a monster year, and he did have a couple of monster games. He had a couple of monster games with Cutler, but his best numbers came with McCown. And I can't help but wonder, is Cutler going to continue having goo-goo eyes for Brandon Marshall and deliver a couple of weeks where Alshon, 5 for 70, 4 for 60, stuff like that. I'm a little bit worried that Alshon could disappoint and come back down. He led the Bears in receiving yards last year. I don't know if he can do that again this year.
So
I think he'll be great, but I don't think he'll be. He made the leap already, man. He's ready to go.
Yeah, he's going to only get better.
Yeah.
Well, then
I think Marshall finishes with a better year than he does. I
agree. Jeffrey's still a top 12 guy, though.
Well, let's get to the tweets and the emails. At Jamie Eisenberg, at Dave Richard, at Adam Azer, not too hard. At CBS Fantasy FB.
It's
Ronnie
a long
Cameron.
Twitter
so remember. Remember, Jamie said, if you compliment Adam, he'll read your questions.
Only way it worked.
Doing Ronnie Cameron says,
this for a month now,
Adam has the perfect look for radio. Keep Gronk for a fifth rounder or Keenan Allen in the 12th round. 12-team, half-point PPR.
If we have to decide today, I'd have a hard time with it. But assuming it's August and Gronk is back, it's Gronk.
It's Gronk now for me.
Next up, Bryce Lysimer says, trade Keenan Allen for Vereen in a 12-team head-to-head category keeper league. No round or auction values. Azer sucks.
Agree. I'd rather have Shane Vereen.
The hell is a head-to-head category keeper league? This guy's screwing with us.
It's a keeper league.
Yeah, but categories, that's what we tried to do last.
So maybe they accomplished it.
No, it's impossible.
How's it impossible?
I know he's a baseball
He's saying
listener.
It's a head-to-head league.
He's a baseball listener. I think it's a baseball
All
listener.
Right, so maybe he's got baseball in the brain. Leave Bryce alone.
You suck, Bryce. No, just kidding. You're cool. What would you do, Dave?
I'd go with Vereen, too, but I think it's a close call.
Joel Vincent.
You know, Vereen, if he had stayed healthy, 16 games, his stats would have been? He would have been the number 12 fantasy running back.
Do you have the numbers off the top of your head?
It was 90
catches. How
many total yards? 90 catches. It was like 14 or 1,500 total yards and 6 touchdowns, I think it was.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
Adam just yawned, by the way.
I was actually thinking of a great Simpsons line.
We just got to look at Adam's tonsils.
And he goes, Seymour is at Principal Skinner's at the lunch line, and Bart makes an announcement. And he goes, good gravy. And the guy behind the lunch counter is like, oh, thank you. It's just brown and water. It's really funny. All right, anyway. Joel Vincent Miracle says,
why don't you tell your Passover joke?
Because nobody's going to get it.
Come on, tell it.
No.
Come on, tell it.
I'll get it. What is it?
Tell it.
Jamie, this kind of stuff is.
Can we wait till the end of the tweets?
Yeah. Does Adrian Peterson drop out of the top 10 this year?
No.
Dave?
I want to hear the Passover story.
That wasn't nobody complimented you there. Why'd you read that one?
Because not everybody compliments me. There weren't enough.
I have a sad Passover story.
What happened?
My kids fought over who actually found the Afikoman. No prizes were given out.
Jeez.
My kids are jackals.
Outlaw Josie Whale says, can Keenan Allen have another big year? You are the smartest, most talented guy in the biz. With a fist pound in there. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. Can Keenan Allen have another big year?
I mean, look, you know how much of a diva you are? You had to take Glear's chair, and now he's bringing you in a table.
I forgot to bring the table myself.
So now you're having...
This has nothing to do with being a diva.
Yeah,
this
it does.
Being forgetful.
No. You're being a diva.
Come on.
You took the poor guy's chair, so he had to go walk around the office.
He almost had to stand at his desk instead of sit at it.
Sorry. Well,
yes, Keenan Allen could have another big year. But, I mean, the book is out on him. Teams are going to know that they have to defend him, and certainly near the red zone. San Diego needs help. They need another receiver.
P. Fink says, do off-field issues translate to on-the-field performance, i.e. Ray Rice or Arian Foster? Adam equals legendary. What?
Hmm. It could.
Wait, what are Arian Foster's off-field issues?
He's having something, I believe, with a paternity suit.
Oh, wow.
And you know about Ray Rice's.
Ray Rice, I know.
He stole my bike.
I don't know. Could it?
I mean, look, you can factor in Colin Kaepernick with what happened with him, you know, yeah. the accusations at least.
But doesn't when that happens to somebody, does it impact him on the field? So think about like Ben Roethlisberger when he was accused of, sure. of those things.
I say no.
I say no, too.
I mean, Michael Vick's first year out of prison, right, was the year that he came in for?
It was the year after that.
Yeah, it was his second year.
It was his second yeah. year. Although Kenny Britt certainly didn't have any happy moments after.
I think it's more about the guy. Can yeah. you trust him? Right. There's a
Britt also had one knee and yeah. didn't care about anything.
Adam says, Adams are cool, and he says, I have the first pick in my 14-team PPR draft. As of today, who would you take?
Jamal Charles.
Chris Johnson. Jamal Charles.
Trent Lockhart says, more fantasy relevant for standard leagues, Ridley or Vereen?
Vereen.
Vereen. Why don't you read the other one?
Which other one?
The one above it.
Dustin. Oh, God, sorry. Dustin Garlinger. Wish I looked as good in a hoodie as Adam. How about a 14-team, two-quarterback draft strategy?
Take quarterbacks early.
Yep.
I think they pretty much have to be your first two picks.
Yeah, and a 14-teamer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pick late. Pick late in round one and early in round two.
Truck 1223 says, ivory value now? Do you like San Diego as a sleeper defense? So two questions there. Adam, nice job keeping the Nando spirit alive. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Ivory's value is in the tank for me. I know Jamie likes him a lot.
No, he still
I'm looking for him mid to late round pick. I don't think I'll get him.
Who do you guys have ahead, Ivory or Johnson?
I have Johnson ahead for the simple fact that I think if both guys play to their best level, Johnson will be better. But I'd rather pass on Chris Johnson and wait for Chris Ivory because I think he'll get better production. Based on what I expect to happen.
I'm going to say mid-round pick on Ivory, not mid to late-round pick. I have him ranked 33rd. Might get 6 touchdowns this year.
I have to sneeze.
Do it. Do it.
I'm all right. I got it.
Not on us, though.
Mike Paul says...
You're going to get sneeze all over that windscreen.
Adam, I respect your knowledge. Which player are you trying to get at all costs in Dynasty Leagues? Okay, so I should answer this? I like SEC running backs. I think they are the best bet. Time after time. Zach Stacy this year. Who am I forgetting? They're a really obvious one. Or just Zach Stacy.
The number one you think of is the Vanderbilt running back.
Eddie Lacy.
Doesn't matter. He's Eddie Lacy. Thank you. I know Trent Richardson's obviously not the same thing, but although he was good in his rookie year. I like SEC running backs. Trey Mason is interesting. I also like running backs who have the ability to catch the ball, and I think Mason does have that ability, even though he didn't really do it that much in college. So I'm looking at like Jeremy Hill and Trey Mason, but it depends. Like the top four running backs seem really darn good. Mason, Hyde, Bishop Sankey, and Jeremy Hill. Hyde averaged over 7 yards per carry. So we'll see which one goes into the best situation.
I want to see where Devontae Freeman ends up.
Yeah, he's pretty small.
He's very small.
And never had a huge workload, but the Seminoles were so deep at running back.
I bet Jamie and I are thinking of the same running back for this question. Who is also an SEC running back.
Who? Jeremy
Marcus
Hill?
Lattimore.
Oh, I was going to say him, too. I was just thinking of rookies, but that's Lattimore.
I would hope he's drafted, though.
What?
I would hope he's drafted in a dynasty.
Well, but what if it's a startup dynasty?
Yeah, I didn't know. I was actually just thinking about the rookie draft.
Yeah, that's the way I would approach it.
Yeah. And Quentin Patton, I think, is right up there, right?
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right. Oh, I like Zach Mettenberger.
Do you?
I do. I think watching football that I watched last year, he seemed like the best, just from my very amateur scouting. He just seemed like the most NFL quarterback. He's big. He's got a huge arm. I like Mettenberger, and I think you can get him kind of late because he'll be probably like, what, the fifth quarterback taken or something like that?
Might not even. He might be past that.
Yeah. So just a kind of a shot in the dark. I'm not saying he's my favorite, but shot in the dark. I like Zach Mettenberger. Let's see. Quiet Storm says, do you guys see Michael Rivera being a top 10 tight end with Schaub under center?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay,
don't see that.
Emails. Bert wants to know, I keep hearing this year's wide receiver draft is very deep, the NFL draft, but very few rookie wide receivers score well in fantasy. Do you think this year is different? How many rookie wide receivers do you project in the top 24 or 36?
You know, it's interesting because it seems like we go in ebbs and flows with some of the rookie receivers. Last year, for the most part, they were a disappointment. And I spoke to Jim Harbaugh this past week, and just in a question that came up about Quentin Patton, he said he really thinks it takes receivers. You know, we could talk about the merits of the third-year receiver theory, but he thinks it takes guys 3 or 4 years. He said coming from the college game to the pro game, he didn't really realize that how difficult it was for guys at that position to step in and play well right away. And he said the one thing is, like, you see all these offenses now in college and how they're throwing the ball so much more, but the one thing that those guys don't see, those receivers, is they don't see bump coverage. And he said that's the hardest thing for receivers to have to overcome, is not only getting off the line of scrimmage, but then getting back onto their routes and then still catching the ball and then still making plays. And so, you know, last year at this time, we were probably talking about, oh, my God, Tavon Austin is going to be great. It doesn't matter where he ends up. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be great. It doesn't matter where he ends up. And you saw how those two guys played, and they didn't really perform at a very high level. So, you know, the name everybody's going to try and jump on is Sammy Watkins, and where he goes. Could be Jacksonville, could be Cleveland, could be Oakland, could be any one of those things. Could be the Lions are talking about trying to trade up and get him. I would not reach for any of these guys. I don't know a lot of people that would. But if you get them late, you know, there will be a Terrence Williams. There will be somebody who has a Justin Hunter, 1 or 2 weeks of good production. There will be somebody who has a Tavon Austin type experience that, you know, gets starts him on the right week, and you end up with that type of performance. But
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson is a great example as well. So somebody is going to have those type of players, and they're going to sit on them all year, especially in a standard league. You know, dynasty leagues are a little different. But I wouldn't go goo-goo gaga over these rookie receivers. Mm-hmm. Just yet, you know, no matter where they end up, because Hopkins is probably the best one, or Tavon Austin, you know, team that was receiver needy. Great opportunity. I mean, I know you were comparing DeAndre Hopkins to Julio Jones, Roddy White.
I love DeAndre, I mean, it was great opportunity. Tavon
Austin, you know, if any team needed a receiver, it was the Rams, and it just didn't work out. So there's going to be a lot of guys drafted. There's a lot of talent in this draft class, but, you know, you may not see it for another 2 or 3 years till they actually, you know, fulfill what the capability is of their talent level.
Yeah.
If there's one that I think could make that jump, it is Mike Evans, just because he's such a monster.
6'5".
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Big dude who can – he's Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, there's so – oh, God. I love all these guys. Yeah. I just don't know – I don't know who's going to be good. I guess I worry a little bit about Watkins just because he's not necessarily going to just be able to be faster than everyone.
Right, like, and that's the problem. Like, so many of these guys are just faster than everyone when they're in college.
But he's a lot better than Tavon Austin was, in my opinion, just like watching them in college. And I think the numbers would probably...
Tavon might have been a byproduct of what he did at West Virginia.
Yeah, the offense, that offense was.
Yeah. I mean, and we thought that St. Louis would kind of lean on him that way, and they didn't do it as much as we thought.
Watkins is a better player, in my opinion.
Do you feel the same way about Watkins as you might have felt about A.J. Green?
No, I think they're different players. I think A.J. Green is – I didn't realize Watkins was 6'1", because to me he seems more of a run-after-the-catch kind of guy. Mm-hmm. A.J. Green is more of a prototypical outside wide receiver to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Watkins, I guess, maybe doesn't play as big as – I don't mean this is a knock. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but Green is more like Akeem Nicks to me, and Watkins is more like Victor Cruz. Just not saying they're the same. Watkins is more like Tavon Austin to me. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's more of an outside receiver than I realize. I didn't realize it was 6'1". That's actually pretty good. But like Odell Beckham Jr. is 5'11".
Is that what he measured at the combine?
I guess.
It had to have been close to it.
Odell Beckham Jr. to me seems more outside than Sammy Watkins. But I guess I'm just thinking this: Watkins can do so much. You can give him an end around. You can just give him a wide receiver screen. He returns kicks.
The thing that I think is going to be problematic, and you know, hopefully it just starts to break these trends, but if he goes to a Jacksonville or a Cleveland or an Oakland in terms of Watkins, does that excite you?
No.
Opportunity is great.
But Patterson went to Minnesota, so it took a while.
True. It's fair comparison. But I think you just look like I want to see Andy Reid get his hands on somebody because they need receiver help in the worst way. You're not going to see Mike McCarthy get his hands on somebody that's going to be a significant contributor right away, but they need another receiver in there.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's just going to be a fourth guy. But, you know, I'm just thinking of like some of the more creative play callers.
Yeah.
They're just not going to, like Jay Gruden's not going to, the Redskins aren't going to take a receiver, most likely.
Right. Well, who knows? Look, maybe Austin would have done better if Bradford had stayed healthy. Who knows?
Well, I mean, Jeff Fisher said it. I asked him, you know, did you feel like you misused Tavon Austin? Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. Tom in Cape Cod says, "Dear Red, White, and Blue." All right. Better keepers for a 12-team standard non-PPR league. Pick one per position. Alfred Morris in the third or Joik Bell in the sixth?
Morris.
Yep.
Julian Edelman in the sixth, Percy Harvin in the sixth, or Antonio Brown in the fourth?
I don't think you get a lot of value with Brown in the fourth, but there's no value there.
That's where he goes. So
exactly. And Harvin, Edelman, I think Harvin will end up going 6-7. Edelman might end up going 7 or 8.
Edelman's going 5th, 6th, if you look at average opposition
okay.
already.
All right. So Brown's the answer. Sixth. But Brown's the answer. That's what I'm saying.
Take the two best players at their positions.
From Carmen, do you think the draft room pre-rankings play a huge part for the average drafter? I think so. I think looking over the pre-ranked players that we see in the draft room would be extremely helpful. What does CBS use as its draft room rankings?
Our projections.
They're sorted by our average projections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it plays a role. And it can be used to your advantage for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I try to find guys that you like more than the rankings might. And when I draft on other sites and use your rankings, I usually feel like I love my team. But I'm biased. Dean from Raleigh, North Carolina. I know you all hate taking quarterbacks early, but every year I wait and I get crushed. I'm in a 6-point for a touchdown league. How does that impact how early you take a quarterback? Most of the decent ones are gone by round 4, like Ryan and Romo.
Well, our rankings and our projections are based on 6-point passing touchdown leagues.
Yep.
I don't know if everybody knows that. I think some people think whatever their league is whatever they're looking at on the site. Okay, my league uses 4 points for a passing touchdown. We use 6. Now, when you're looking at rankings, really it doesn't change a whole lot. Maybe if you looked at our rankings and had 4 points for passing touchdowns, the rushing run quarterbacks would be a little bit higher. But, yeah, I don't mind waiting. I just think that there's enough talent to go around. If Dean's in a 10 or a 12-team league, he's still going to be able to find a good quarterback if he waits.
I would also say this, though. It's funny because, you know, you saying wait, and I'm going to say, you know, maybe go a little earlier than you think. If everybody's taking quarterbacks early in your draft and you don't like the options that are left for you, well, then, you know, bite the bullet and jump on a run. I don't like doing that. You obviously don't like doing that. You know,
jumping on a run?
I don't like to jump on a run.
No, I agree.
Sometimes you have to.
But if I can get Aaron Rodgers in round 2, I'm not going to fight that.
I don't think you really have to with quarterbacks, though, as long as you're in a league where you feel like
I totally agree.
Enough good starters.
But Dean obviously is coming from an experience that he hasn't been happy with of waiting for this year's Colin Kaepernick or this year's Nick Foles or this year's whoever it may be, and he's getting burned by it. You know, and last year, let's say maybe he was happy he got Matt Ryan in the third round. You know, let's just say that's where the value was for him to take it, and he got burned by it. So Dean, if Dean is upset with that and he knows the way his league drafts, let's say he picks 4th, well, okay, take – if it goes, you know, running back, quarterback, whoever, you know, if you're sitting there and you have the choice of taking one of those top 3 guys, do it. You know you're going to get good players later. I don't like it, but, you know, if it makes your experience better, then go ahead.
How about this, Dean? Give us – email us back with the rest of your team from last year, and let's see if – there are more reasons why you struggle, then we can see if we can fix that as well. Tony B says, "Hey, Hoover, Fort, and Stokes." No idea? I don't know. Will Jeffrey outperform Marshall in yards and touchdowns?
No.
It'll be no. That's a no.
Yeah.
I spoke to Brandon Marshall on Friday. And he says he basically is going to go out and have a career. That's what he thinks.
Jamie?
He had a career high in touchdowns last year, and he thinks he's going to have a better year this year.
Who said this?
Brandon Marshall.
Stop listening to athletes. Stop listening to them.
Yeah.
Why? You don't like to hear how
motivated
they are?
Lamar Miller, what were his expectations going into the season? I remember that. I want to rush for what? 1,500 yards. Good for you. Did the Dolphins rush for 1,500 yards?
No, but I think that's an unfair statement. On Lamar Miller was a disappointment, but that whole team fell apart.
I know. I'm just saying, every player is optimistic. Every player is, this is great. They look great. Let's see. Prove it.
But this is a guy that's got a track record, though.
Of being right in the preseason?
No, of playing big. I mean, it's not like Brandon Marshall's been a disappointment in his career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it doesn't really matter what he would say. It's not going to change.
Well, he's in a contract here, too. That's what
that's good. Jamie, I want you to know, I finished True Detective last night.
What do you think?
I prefer it to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, it depends what
Dave,
you're looking
you gotta
for.
You got to jump on here.
Depends what you're looking for.
I haven't
for.
Watched a second of either one of those shows.
I think you should watch True Detective, but give it two episodes because the first one's a little boring. That's
do you
my
have
advice
it on
to
DVD actually, or something? Or how'd you watch it?
Do you have HBO?
Yeah.
Yeah, on demand.
I actually I felt the same way. First episode, I was like, I don't really like this too much. And then I did your favorite thing, and I binge-watched it.
There you go.
For like four episodes.
How fun is that?
And then when I caught up, I was like, I can't believe I have to wait another week.
No, it's terrible. I hate watching like that. All right, thanks, everyone. Thank you for all the compliments, especially Bryce, who told me I sucked. And let's see. Ronnie said I have a perfect look for radio. Good
all
stuff.
Accurate. All accurate.
Passover story.
Oh, yeah. Tell you that story. It's a joke.
No, this is a joke. I'll tell you as soon as I end the podcast.
Tell a joke now.
Just say it.
Just say it.
No, I don't want to get it.
He talked about the Ivy Passover story.
Yeah, but I,
come on, say it.
I feel
say
so
it.
Unfulfilled.
Inappropriate.
Say it.
Is it inappropriate? Then don't do it.
It's not inappropriate.
It's just something that we shouldn't be doing on the air. Thanks, everyone. Sorry for this somber ending. Bye.
Bye.